For today's reading of the Word, if you are able to stand, and if not, you'll be standing in spirit, would you please stand and hear the Word read? Our scripture today comes from John chapter 21, starting in the 15th verse. I'm going to come up here. Starting in the 15th verse and finishing in the 22nd verse, John chapter 21, where Jesus challenges Peter. And what a strong challenge it is.
So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." You bow your heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we have your word, that we have a church that we can bind our hearts together in as a community. Lord, we thank you that we have a pastor who has a heart that is passionate for you and for others, and finally for himself. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would rest upon us today, that would convict us of your truths, that would motivate us to be more like you. Lord, please be with our pastor as he delivers your message. Please be with us as we attempt to be in your word, to study your will, and to be pleasant living sacrifices for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God has a sense of humor. Because of his sense of humor, I'm married. Because he has a still further sense of humor, he gave me twin sons that are now 8 years old. And if it wasn't funny enough, he brought Grammy back to live with us. So I have a house full of critics, and last Sunday when we left, as I always do, I turn to my wife, whom I love so very much because she tells me I have to. And I said, "What do you think of the sermon?" And she said, "It is about time you start making sermons that are a little bit more woman-oriented. She said, "I am tired of hearing about cast iron and steel and welding and stuff like that. Why don't you do something that appeals to the women?" You did say that. So I acquiesced, and today we will talk about John Deere. Their names were Helen Keller and Ann Sullivan. Two women whose names are synonymous together. Helen Keller and Ann Solomon. Helen Keller, who was struck blind at 19 months. 19 months. When the world was just starting to become fresh and new, Helen Keller was struck down and plunged into a world of darkness and despair. Unable to communicate. She took to breaking everything she could find. She threw tantrums. She worried her parents and took years off their lives. If you're a parent, what do you want to do? When you have a child that is in that much pain, what becomes your whole world is to relieve that pain. And they were powerless until Ann Sullivan. from Massachusetts came to be with her. And she took on an epic journey, the likes of which, if I challenge you to do this, I hope you will answer. She became a friend, a guardian, a mentor, a teacher. She took on a journey the likes of which I cannot begin to fathom. Sometimes I can't understand when the boys read me a sentence out of a book and I get frustrated. She was to teach Helen Keller how to hear, how to see, how to speak. And it did not go well. You know most of the story where she would touch and try to explain things to her and teach her things by saying, doll baby, and try to teach it to her. And Helen Keller could not understand, and she would break things and she would become frustrated. And one day while they were out in the woods and they were walking back, tired, hot, wrung out from sweat, trying to teach her, she tapped water and Helen Keller slapped her. And Ann tapped it again and finally went over to the pump. And you know the story, cranked the handle. And the cool water, as she touched, as the water ran across her hand, Helen calmed. And later on in her autobiography, finally wrote, I understood. Shortly thereafter that, in the space of 2.5 weeks, Ann Sullivan in her diary said, Helen almost wore her to the point of exhaustion by trying to learn as much as 2,000 to 2,500 words because it had been unlocked. And shortly thereafter, the first word that Helen Keller would speak aloud is water. Broke through. You know what the most important thing about that is? She also ran her mouth during her daddy. She broke through. She lived with anger and frustration. She lived unable to speak, unable to share her thoughts. And as you know the rest of the story, Helen Keller went on to speak, to give lectures, to write, despite the fact that she could not hear, she could not see. As a matter of fact, in reading her autobiography, she had her eyes removed and glass ones replaced because they thought it would look more aesthetically pleasing. But she spoke aloud the words she could not hear. Monumental. Monumental. Do you know the words that we do not speak aloud? Merry Christmas. In preparation for the sermon, I decided to have a little fun. First, I went back and I reread the 21st chapter of John because that is speaking aloud. I'm going to have to stop letting Chris come into my study right before my sermons because it's as if he's reading my mind. We got to talking about it. The truth of the matter is, when you look at Peter, he is us. We were ornery, we were removed, we denied, we talked down. And then when we were brought to light, we couldn't stop saying it enough, Jesus Christ, in that little snippet from the gospel, asks him 3 times, can you imagine yourself if Jesus Christ had been sitting across from you and saying to you, Paul Leatherman, do you love me? Yeah. Kathy Whittington, do you love me? Yes. Jackie Kiefer, do you love me? And not only does he say it once, he says it 3 times, and at the end of the 3rd time, Peter is broken. You can read it in the gospel writer there. John is saying these words. Peter was hurt. You see it there at the end of the 17th verse. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the 3rd time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I speak it aloud. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now my wife, who has a pretty good sense of humor, turned me loose in the grocery store by myself yesterday on a Saturday afternoon. And as you all have come to know me over these years, I don't do well in those situations. But I decided I was going to do something a little different. I was going to put on a smile, and as I approached the grocery store, I said, Father in heaven, give me the patience and strength to get through this thing. And I kid you not, brothers and sisters, as I pulled up in front of the store and was starting to look for a space, the car in front of me pulled out from a space right at the front row, right in front of the door. Yeah! We're off and running. And so I went in the store, and I made a point that everybody that looked at me, I looked right back at them, and I went, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas. Speak it aloud. It's not happy holidays. It's not have a good season. It's not have a cool Yule. It's Merry Christmas. It's Christ's season. It's the time that we enjoy being able to rejoice in the remembrance of that child that was born. So I got to having fun with it. I actually wandered around the store for a while. I only had two things to pick up. I came home with more than that. And if you're wondering, yes, I did come home with ice cream. And I made it a point. I'd see somebody. They'd be looking at me. Merry Christmas! Now, picture big man, bib overalls, turned shirt, dirty hat. My standard attire. And I had some people actually get me. Merry Christmas, God loves you. Yeah, well, thank you. Because I'm not afraid to speak it aloud. Jesus Christ is saying to Peter, say it! And we learn as this holiday approaches that there was another one who didn't want to do it. Flip over in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1. Let's take a good look at Zechariah. And we're going to wander around in it just a little bit. But in order to fully appreciate Christmas, in order to fully appreciate what is yet to come, in order to fully appreciate Jesus Christ and His love, you have to learn to know John the Baptist and his dad Zechariah, the hardhead. Luke, an interesting writer. If you read the very first part of that chapter, it says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. I love how he starts that. The things that have been fulfilled. Luke's not sitting there saying the things that might be, the things that will be, the things that ought to be, the things that have. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In the time, verse 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. I love my wife. But she is driving me crazy this time of year because we're pulling out Christmas ornaments. Do you remember when the little boys had this and the little baby? And she looks at Faith. And then she looks at me and I have to remind her, I am too old to have another child. I am well along in years at 44. Not anybody believes me when I say that. But it's the truth. They had advanced greatly. And they wanted children. You know it. I wanted children. Wanted. And I remember that feeling. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty there at verse 8. And he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Pay attention to verse 12. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. Would you have been? Would you have been gripped with fear if some big nutty looking guy that hadn't quite shaved and bib overalls and turned shirt and dirty hat in the middle of the ice cream aisle at the Giant Eagle went to you, Merry Christmas! Startled him. Made him shake with fear. The Bible says, gripped with fear. Yes, I would have been too. And I'm not scared of a whole lot. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are going to name him John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." Gave him this. Told him this. How full his heart must have been. But because of his blockage, because of his ability to not see further on, because of the fact that he had been too comfortable in the things that he was doing, he could not see what the Lord's angel was saying to him. In verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." You see how smart Zechariah was? He didn't call her an old woman. The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." If you take the word of the Lord and put it in your heart and you leave it there and you don't do anything with it, you lost. If you take the gospel that is Jesus Christ and you put it right there and you never look at one person for the rest of your life and tell them, "I know Jesus. Do you know him? Would you like to know him? Can I help you? Can I help show you a way to the foot of the cross?" You lost. Speak it out loud. The first start is Merry Christmas. Now those seem like two silly, simple words because you say them so much. But the truth of it is, when you say that, you're acknowledging the birth of Jesus Christ. You're coming before someone. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And when they look at you for a minute, go, "Jesus was born. I was having fun with it." And then I started to notice that I was going to be a little late, so I ran over and got the rest of the stuff I was supposed to get. And on the way out the store, I got one more opportunity to do it. As I was walking up the sidewalk to go to the car, a woman was walking down the sidewalk, and she took one look at me. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, she kind of got over next to the wall, and she kind of turned like this as she was walking. Which was not smart on her part. Because I slid over to the wall and went, "Merry Christmas." And she went, "Merry Christmas." It's fun. You see what it means? You're unlocking the gospel within your heart. You're speaking it out loud. You're not locking it down. Zechariah couldn't see to do it. And that is the problem with today. We are too afraid of offending someone. We are too afraid that if we use the words "Merry Christmas," we might upset someone. Tough! Do it anyway. Are you a Christian? Say amen.
Amen.
Then you're just simply saying that you believe in Christ. Just simply saying it. We know what happens next. People started waiting for Zechariah and wondering, why in the world ain't he saying nothing? He kept making signs for them, but was unable to speak. Helen Keller, Anne Sullivan. Couldn't figure it out. Couldn't understand it. The amount of frustration it must have been. The Bible says after his time of service was completed, he returned home. Verse 24, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown me his favor, taking away my disgrace among the people." And we know that Mary goes to see her and that she talks to her. And what do we know what happens when Mary comes to see Elizabeth? The baby jumped. Moved in the womb. I remember the first time ours moved. "Honey, come here, the babies are moving." And I went, "Where?" "Oh, yeah, I got that. I'm not a very smart person. I've told you that." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth. We slip on over there to verse 57, still in that first chapter. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to her son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they had shared her joy. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah, because that is a tradition. I am Paul Nelson Leatherman III. And I told my wife, if we have a son, please. And one of them, at that time we found out it was two, one of them will be named Paul Nelson Leatherman IV. But I'm proud to have that long line of names. And it was going to be what you did. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who bears that name. What are you doing, crazy woman? They made signs to the father to find out what to name the child. And finally, we see it here in verse 63. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. Amen. That's Christmas. Merry Christmas. See, it's fun, I'm telling you. The neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. And everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. I love reading that story because we know what John was going to be. He was going to be Charlton Heston in the river. John the Baptist, the one who made the way ready for the one who was to come. What an honor. What an absolute honor. And yet we still struggle with our rebellion. We still keep things too quietly. We see things around us that would hold us back from the glory of this season because we're afraid of offending anyone. Can you imagine if your words actually shine someone? Recently I heard a touching story which illustrates the power that words have to change a life, a power that lies right in the hands of those who also will hear this story. Mary had grown up and she was different from other kids, and she hated it. She was born with a cleft palate, and she had to bear the jokes and stares and cruelty of children that we know all too well, who completely teased her all the time about her misshapen lip, her crooked nose, and her garbled speech. With all that teasing, Mary grew up the fact, hating that she was different. She was convinced that no one outside of her family could ever love her. She entered Miss Leonard's class. Mrs. Leonard had a warm, beautiful smile, a round face, and a countenance that seemed to light up constantly. Everyone in the class loved her, Mary especially. See, in the 1950s, as I'm given to understand, it was common for teachers to give their children an annual hearing case. But you see, in Mary's case, in addition to the cleft palate, she was left barely able to hear but out of one ear. And determined not to let the other children have another difference to point out, she would cheat on the test each year. The whisper test was given by having a child walk to the classroom door. Does anybody remember this? You would turn sideways, close one ear with a finger, and then repeat what the teacher had whispered. Mary turned her bad ear toward the teacher and pretended to cover her good ear. She knew teachers would often say things like, the sky is blue, what color shoes are you wearing, but not on this day. God put words, seven of them, in Mrs. Leonard's mouth that changed Mary's life forever. When the whisper test came, Mary heard the words, I wish you were my little girl. Not afraid to speak it aloud. Mary accelerated in the class and went on to find her way in the world, using her difference to teach others. Imagine to a total stranger your face smiling. Merry Christmas. Jesus loves you. Jesus is the reason for the season. Imagine speaking it aloud. Imagine calling someone just in the middle of the week for no reason to tell them how much you love them, how much God loves them, and how much affection. Imagine how much fun that is. Why don't you just pick up your little old prayer request sheets there? Because it's time to do it again. You know the drill if you've been here before. If you haven't, I need a pair of ushers back there. Marvin, Chris is back with Faith. Can you, want to be an usher? Go back here and get the plates. Take your little prayer request cards, write your name and your phone number on them, fold them in half and stick them in the plates as they come down to you. And then when the plates come back, each of you pick one. And this week, I want you to call somebody, call your prayer partner and say Merry Christmas and pray with them. I need to borrow your pencil. See, I think this is fun because I love seeing who's going to call me. And I know that all the rest of you in this church wonders which one of you I got your name. Because you know I'm going to call you. Thank you. Just put your name and a phone number on there. And the deal is, call them. At some point this week, take 5 minutes out of your busy, full day and call them. I'll give you a minute to finish it up. We ain't got nothing here but time. It's like a joke that Bob Myers used to tell me all the time. I think sometimes his brain stuck on that joke. He said a new preacher showed up at a church, was asking the deacons, "How long can I preach?" The deacon said, "You can preach as long as you want to. We go home at 12 o'clock. And as you finish, yes. What's that? Oh, yeah. Okay. And while we're at it, let's also remember that we have two in the room. Of course, one's not in the room. Melody has a birthday this week, but one is in the room. Hi, Marge. Everybody say happy birthday, Marge.
Happy birthday, Marge.
What's it going to be, 22, 23? 20. 20! But I thought you were 21 last year. That's how it works, right? Mark 17, right? I got you. Now, if the ushers would pass them plates around there, Marvin, your plate's empty. How about this side of the church? Have you filled out your paperwork? Marge, I'm supposed to ask you what you're getting for your gift. What is she getting for a gift?
Oh, I'm getting a new roof.
See, that's not a very womanly thing.
Always something personal.
I guess you probably do need a new roof every so often. That's the beauty of the season. Is that we don't have to be stuck like everybody else with that face that I do not like seeing Christians, especially those under my care, with. You look at me like that, I'm going to have a good time with you. You are children bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. Now, you two switch plates, mix them all around, and just pass the plate down the aisle and let people start picking them out. See how it works? Start handing them out, Marvin. See, I'm giving you an early stress test. I'll get two. I'll get one for the corner up here. Make sure you don't have your own. And while they're doing that, I want to continually remind you that we get to be here on Christmas Day. Church service will start at 10 o'clock in the morning, but we get to be here on Christmas Day. And I still forgot to look it up to see when the last time Christmas fell on a Sunday, but I don't care. That is a beautiful thing. And we will be singing, and we will be joying, and we will be raising the roof and praising the Lord. And next Sunday, I ask that you keep it in prayer. I am so anxious to see what our little ones have prepared for us. What's it called again, the greatest gift?
The greatest gift.
It's not a tractor, right?
No, it's not a tractor.
It's not a new roof, right?
Not okay.
Just check it. So now you have been given your homework, my brothers and sisters. And I would ask that you would follow through on it. And I can't wait to hear the reports about it. Because you're going to speak aloud. You're going to speak aloud the words of Jesus Christ. You're going to do what the Great Commission has said. You're going to remember joy, Jesus, others, and you. And it'll prime you. I want to hear some stories, I hope, this week of you slipping into a store somewhere and going, well, Paul said he did it. I'll try it. Merry Christmas. I guarantee you, you will be lifted from it. I guarantee you that for as much as you have struggled to be... Are we good back here?
Can I say something?
You may.
We switch plates and they come out perfect.
What?
We switch plates and they come out perfect.
Amen! By golly, I did it something right. Make a note of that in the log. Speak it out loud. Love Christmas for what it is. Remember the teachings that were showed to Zechariah. You can't hold it in here. You're not going to get anything from it by leaving it in here. What's the old children's song? Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Will you speak Merry Christmas? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we speak it out loud that Jesus Christ is your Son, that He was born of Mary, that He rose up, He was taught, He died, He rose from the grave and saved us. And by that, we are saved. And as we approach this season, I don't want to get lost in the trappings of, well, this ain't correct and this ain't quite right and we shouldn't be worshiping this way. No, we remember Jesus Christ, the birth of your Son. We say it, we mean it, we love it, we know it, and we want others to know Him. Let us speak it aloud in this week to come. Now and forevermore, put that in our heart. In Jesus' precious name we all pray. Amen. As we sing the last hymn, if you have that particular prayer request, if you need that strengthening, if you need to know Christ a little closer, I invite you to come forward up here and share with me with prayer. It's open, will be open, and I don't want you to leave here without it.
Please stand and turn to page 253.
Ah, yeah. Silent night, that's funny.
Oh. Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with.
Peace that is His, and may you freely speak Him in the days to come. May you be strengthened. May your feet made to be well upon the path following Him. Until we meet again, either here or beyond. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, bless and provide and keep you all now and forevermore. Amen.